Hello. This is indeed Wilf's Wake Up Call. This is what we now call connecting the dots when we get together and say, okay, this is happening over here, and this is happening over here, and something else is happening over yonder, and they actually interact and have an important result that we don't necessarily anticipate. That's not the only thing that happens, but that's one of the things that happens.
Well, I'd like to combine them, Dick,
and
have it Wilf's wake up to connecting the dots. Wake up call
sense.
To connecting
yes.
the dots. Because really it is a wake up call, even
right.
though it's not early in the morning anymore.
Yeah.
But we can talk about that some more.
Yeah, this is Dick Paddock, co-host and engineer. And
Lori Hoyt, co-host also. And I leave all the engineering up to Dick, who saves our life week after week.
Okay, so the first thing we want to do is bring to you the results of something that relates to a show that we're going to repeat, which we did on August 3rd about fracking. And Lori's got an article summarizing the fracking summit that was held this past Saturday at Central Carolina Community College in Pittsburgh.
Right. And, Dick, before we go to that, because we'll do that as a lead into our show, I wonder if you could just tell our listeners about the protest that you went to yesterday.
Yes, yesterday there was a protest that had probably on the order of I would say close to 1,000 people that showed up behind the legislature, the state legislature building, and it was a protest wanting to complain about and try to stop the amendment to the state constitution that was being considered that would define marriage as between only a man and a woman. And the whole point behind the constitutional amendment is that they're afraid that the forces who want man and woman heterosexual only marriage are afraid that they might be trying to sneak something around the edges by using laws rather than constitutional amendment. And so there was a, as I say, a large group of people there. Some of whom were lesbian, bisexual, gay, transgendered, but there were also a fair number of, I guess what are called straight or heterosexual people, including the executive director of the people who organized the rally called Equality North Carolina, or Equality NC. There were several speakers, one of whom was Nancy Price, who's the new pastor at Pullen Memorial Baptist Church in Raleigh. And, of course, all the people there spoke in favor of it. One of the things that there are two things in terms of signs that caught my eye. One, a simple sign that said, fear is the problem. They're afraid that something that's going to rock their boat might happen, and that what we really need to be thinking about is equal rights for everybody and not taking rights away from people. The other one that I saw that I thought was a great sign was held by a man who I presume was was homosexual, gay, and the sign said, "So, you want me to marry your daughter?" Which I thought was absolutely hilarious.
And, of course, they're always is the wonderful comeback, you know. If you don't want to be in a gay marriage, don't get in one, you know.
Right.
You have a perfect right to go and be in a heterosexual marriage. We are really for that, too.
Yeah. No problem there.
No problem.
And there was another sign that I thought was pretty good: is blame all of us on straight people because they keep producing us.
Okay.
So Yeah, but it was more serious than that on the whole. And as I said, it was quite well attended. And nonetheless, the state Senate passed the amendment to go on the ballot, and it will go on the ballot in May of next year at primary time, which is interesting. But it's not. It goes directly from the legislature to the ballot. It doesn't have to be signed off by, by Governor Perdue. So it was, since it was passed, it will be on the ballot in May. So those of us who are wanting it to be defeated need to gear ourselves up and protect the rights of those who are, you know, LGBTQ.
Well, you know, I was talking with somebody in the supermarket, one of the supermarket checkout lines, and talking about our local issues here in North Carolina and politics in general, and nationwide. And they made a comment that I think we can all agree on, is that they're so busy right now bringing up these really distractions, making a big thing about a gay marriage. They're going to be bringing up abortion. Not that these aren't serious issues, but these are ways to keep us from talking about the increased inequality between the rich and poor in this country, about our loss of whatever democracy we thought we had here, increasing erosion of those democratic rights, mm-hmm. and the lack of jobs, and more people, the even on public television, the Jim Lehrer NewsHour, which is kind of a status quo, very well written, but status quo, and certainly not a left television show, more and more about these issues. And I think they're going to try to get everybody all in an uproar about these other issues to keep us from getting to the heart of the matter issues. Yeah. And so I think that this is something we've got to really guard about against and yes. really get people focused on what the real issues are.
Right. And I think the other thing that we have to keep in mind is that we're not doing anything significant to stop what I call the impending heat death of the planet.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because there is going to be. Let me just backtrack here a minute. I had wanted to let our listeners know, if I haven't said anything already, that the Raging Grannies, who are known to many of our listeners, and if you haven't known about us, we're a group of mature women who dress up in old-timey clothes with big, colorful hats and sing very sharp, politically satirical lyrics to old-timey music. And we're quite a crowd pleaser. And we have been around for more than 10 years in the Triangle. And we have been so blessed that one of the nationally known Raging Grannies, and she's known because of all her wonderful songs that go out on the internet that Raging Grannies all over the country are singing. Her name is Vicki Ryder, and she's just moved to our area, to Durham. So we are getting a new influx of energy and re-inspiration, and sang at the Fracking Conference, the Fracking Summit last Saturday, which I will tell you some of what that was about, but also to let you know that tomorrow night, Thursday night, September 15th, the Raging Grannies will be there, but more important, the issue is going to be jobs with justice, and it's going to be in Raleigh at the YWCA on Oberlin Street or Avenue.
Oberlin Road.
Oberlin Road, and it's going to be at 7 o'clock. And I think this is what I said is one of the crucial issues that they don't want us to pay attention to, the need, desperate need for jobs in this state, in North Carolina,
in particular,
and nationwide. So if you can be there, you are invited. And as a sweetener to all of that, the Raging Grannies are going to be opening that program tomorrow night. And we will also, coming back to what you said about heating up the planet, Dick, we are going to be on Saturday, September 24th. There is going to be a huge festival program in Durham at their Central Park downtown on 350, which is the whole thing about 350 parts per
million.
Per million
of CO2.
Of CO2 that we've already passed, and we are already in the danger zone. And this is all about heating up the planet, about climate, not just climate heating, but climate instability, climate change. And we only have to look at the weather patterns in the last couple of years all over the world. Floods, earthquakes, fires, and
heavy storms.
Heavy storms, huge storms.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, lots of snow in one place.
Drought in many
drought
other, places,
in other places.
Floods.
And melting ice caps.
Yes. Yeah. All the things that are very fearful to any of us who hope that this planet will be survivable for our children, our grandchildren, down to the seventh generation, to look ahead like that. And I think I heard on the radio today that Al Gore, he was on a public radio this afternoon. I was in the car, and I think he's going to be having some big program tonight, and I don't know whether it's on TV or radio or what. I got in traffic and didn't hear, but try to look at your listings on anything, and it's going to be something tonight with Al Gore and some big. He's really making a new effort to get the word out about global climate change.
Right.
So that will be on Saturday the 24th in Durham at Central Park from, I think it's going to be in the afternoon from 2 to, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, but at least 2 to 5 in the afternoon, maybe later. So check about that. We'll update that next week. Okay. So I've talked about the Raging Grannies, and we were there at the Fracking Summit with some absolutely terrific new songs, and were such a hit that they invited us. We just invited ourselves and sang outside, and they invited us to come in and open up this wonderful summit. Let me tell you a little bit about it. They certainly had a packed crowd. It took place at Central Carolina Community College in the Pittsburgh campus. And it was Saturday afternoon, and there was, as the paper said, I'm reading from the News and Observer of Sunday's News and Observer. The way they put it, which I think is really good, a litany of cautionary tales about fracking. And fracking is a drilling method that extracts natural gas from shale deposits deep underground. And what people heard at that conference was about a lot of risk with little reward for most of the people, for landowners and other residents. Unless you're a landowner who is savvy enough to outmaneuver the oil and gas industry, and that's certainly not recommended because they have very highly paid lawyers.
Yeah. The only real way you can be sure that you're not being outmaneuvered is to say no.
Is to say no.
That's the one word that will not be outmaneuvered.
That will protect us. State lawmakers are a veto override away from approving a study that could recommend opening North Carolina to fracking. And they have their eye particularly on Chatham County right next door and Lee County. The House could vote on that Senate bill this week, although it is more likely it will wait till next year. Let's hope and pray they do. Now, what fracking, and some people, we hear it and we heard, oh, watch out for it. But I'm not sure how many people realize what actually goes on. It requires drilling at least a mile down into the earth to reach those shale deposits and then drilling into them horizontally. Then chemical compounds are force-fed into the shale to pulverize it and to free up the natural gas. Right now, two laws, one that prevents horizontal drilling and another that prevents the injection of chemicals into the ground, those are the two laws that have kept fracking away from us. But we have models to see what's happened. We don't have to learn by ourselves because it has taken off in other states, particularly Pennsylvania and Texas. Now, this fracking summit this past Saturday was sponsored by Clean Water for North Carolina, a wonderful group, a nonprofit environmental group that opposes the practice. Hope Taylor is the nonprofit's executive director, and she said the Senate bill calls for a study that fails to examine the full environmental ramifications of fracking and sets up, quote, an energy jobs council, unquote, to weigh in on fracking, and that this council is much too industry friendly. Taylor, Hope Taylor says, we're moving way too fast. There are too many unanswered questions, and the more we learn, the more we are concerned. So at this conference, they had some terrific speakers. One was Duke University professor Avner Vengash. He presented findings from a study that found high levels of methane in private water wells near fracking operations. The methane concentrations, which researchers tracked back to the shale deposits, because I've heard some people question and say, well, that methane could have been there anyhow. So they've tracked it back to the shale deposits. And the methane concentrations were so high that they created the potential for explosive conditions in some homes. And I think, Dick, you and I have both seen documentaries, including the movie Gasland, yeah, where he went around the country talking to people where they're already doing fracking to find out what it was like and what it was like for residents. And in some of the homes, the methane concentration was so high that you could light a match when you turn your water faucet on, you could light a match and have a fire, set your water on fire, which is pretty dramatic. And these methods are so brutal to the earth. And I know that there's some possibility of setting off earthquakes. That is controversial, but it certainly creates unstable conditions in the earth. And the other thing that I don't think is controversial, that with all those chemicals that they can leach down to the underground water supply, to the reservoirs, and into people's wells. You're looking at me.
Well, I have heard, and I don't know whether it's true or not, but what I have heard from a petroleum engineer who apparently wants to remain anonymous and therefore calls himself Fish Grease, in fact, the water is always higher than the gas, and that there's a supposedly an impermeable layer of stone between the water and the gas. I don't know whether that's true or not, but that's what he said. He also said something that's very interesting, and that is that this is going to be a very quick flash-in-the-pan boom, he claims, because he thinks it won't be very long till they found so much and there's such a glut on the market that they'll stop doing it and just tap what's been already drilled. They won't have to do any more drilling. Both these things, I don't know. He's an anonymous petroleum engineer.
Well, let me tell you some people.
But I just relate that for what it's worth.
Let me tell you two people who are not anonymous, who were at the fracking summit, who have come from Pennsylvania, who can give a firsthand report. Dairy farmers Carol French and Carolyn Knapp said that the fracking boom in their home county in north central Pennsylvania, it has brought some reward to a few landowners who negotiated very smart leases and to a few local businesses that cater to the visiting workers, which is, you're right, would be a short-term boon. But, she said, It has exacted a heavy toll in roads damaged by heavy equipment, a heavy toll on farmlands and forests closed off or damaged by the fracking operations, and many other landowners left holding the bag because they did not consider all the consequences of signing their land rights away. Residents in fracking zones can expect to pay more for water testing and filtration, emergency services for the increased heavy machinery-related accidents, and police costs related to responding to poorly behaved and poorly paid out-of-town drilling workers, they said. They said North Carolina needs to know what they are getting into. This is, again, from the dairy farmers from Pennsylvania, Knapp and French, said, slow it down. It doesn't need to be done tomorrow. It doesn't need to be done next year. It can wait. Some in industry have already bet that North Carolina will open up to fracking. So we're on the edge of our seats. This is pretty scary. Another person who was at the conference, Jordan Treacle, a mineral rights specialist with the Rural Advancement Foundation International, which promotes environmentally responsible farming, said that three companies alone have leased 9,400 acres in Lee County for hoping to get those fracking operations going. And much of that leased property is just west of Sanford and sits over the Triassic Basin shales that stretch from Granville County down to Anson County. And he said, this Treacle fellow said, that a number of landowners have already signed very bad deals that give them as little as a dollar an acre in, quote, bonus payments and tie up their properties for as long as 20 years. Not only that, they could find themselves on the hook for environmental and operational costs and cleanup costs. So this is something that is so scary, and I just hope and pray that North Carolina can learn from the woes and problems of our neighbors in Pennsylvania,
right.
And so we're going to now play from a wonderful program that Dick and Tana Hartman, another Wilp sister, did a few weeks ago about fracking. And
okay, before we get started on that, let's take a break.
A
little break.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay, shall I do this, Dick? Okay.
Sure.
Okay, this is also very, very important. Now, we are on WCOM-FM. It's a volunteer-run, low-power radio station that is the pride of our community. And we are so blessed and so proud that we never said who we are. We're the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom.
Right.
And
Triangle Branch. Yeah. We have a website at triangle WILPF.org. That's triangle WILPF.
TriangleWILF.org. .org. And you find out more about us, and we're here every Wednesday from 5 to 6 o'clock. And bringing you, as we said, the connecting the dots, the important issues of the day, and for most of our programs we have guests. Well, WCOM, this wonderful, wonderful radio station, is going to have its fifth annual fundraiser called Acoustic Fest. And it's going to be on Thursday, October 13th, so we'll be able to announce it again and promote it. It's going to be from 7 to 10 p.m. at one of our favorite places, and it's one of the historic, wonderful places that many alumni of the university and many residents know with great fondness, the Cave. The Cave is downstairs. It is the Cave at 452 and a half West Franklin Street. Look for a doorway and you go down the stairs and there it is. And by the way, for those of you who haven't been there in quite a while, it is now smoke-free, which has added to its enjoyment when you're there. The beer is still good And the acoustics are good, and they're going to be featuring another Chapel Hill longtime native, Tim Stambau, then the Birds and Arrows, and Harmonica Bob, and Near Blind James. So they're going to have great music. There's going to be great people. And it is Acoustic Fest, and it doesn't mention any price. I imagine it's donations, unless we find out otherwise. And it's going to be from 7 to 10 on Thursday, October 13th. Please go and support this wonderful radio station.
Right. And speaking of supporting. We're going to ask you to support our underwriter.
Yes.
Internationalist Bookstore. At 405 West Franklin Street, not too far from the cave, but it's not underground, it's above ground, and it's a wonderful bookstore, community cultural center, bumper sticker rack, and just general fun place to be if you're looking for original original culture. You can find them at Internationalist Books. That's internationalistbooks.org. And you can find the website for WCOM at wcomfm.org. And at that website, one of the things you can do if you are having trouble listening to us on the radio is click on the button that says Listen Live, and you can then listen live. Whatever's on the air will come directly to your radio. So between 5 and 6 on Wednesday afternoons, that would be us. So at this point, we'll go back to our discussion of fracking, and we'll hook you up with...
And Dick, while you're looking for that, can I just mention that next week, at this point, we're expecting two topics and two guests. One will be Greg Myers from Chapel Hill High School telling us about the Blue Mentor Program, I think it's called, Blue Ribbon Program. And this is a mentoring program, which is just wonderful. And I won't say any more. I'm going to let him tell us all about it. And we're also hoping to have Harry Phillips. And he'll be on just a short time telling us a little bit about the tar sand issue, which involves having a pipeline go from these tar sands to extract oil. And it's another brutal, brutal, using tons of water procedure. And to do a pipeline from Canada to Texas through 8 states. So I won't say any more about that. Tune in next week, and we'll tell you more. Okay.
Okay, so here's the show
fracturing.
We did before.
Fracking, as it's called, is a way of extracting natural gas from within rock. And this is, we're talking deep rock, the deep shale deposits. And it involves blasting underground thousands of feet deep and using a mixture, a cocktail of sand, water, and chemicals, toxic chemicals, many of them. It uses 3 to 5 million gallons of water per frack, and each well may be fracked over 20 times. In North Carolina, there are the shale basins, the underground reserves for natural gas, and once it was considered impractical to retrieve, horizontal drilling and fracking now allow them to get access to the natural gas, but the drilling procedures could only occur if current regulations are changed. And there are some reasons. The current regulations on fracking, actually, they don't allow horizontal drilling, nor do they allow injection of high pressure or toxic waste fluids. But the energy industries are seeking to buy up leases and move forward with fracking. And the General Assembly has been passing bills to study the economic effects of fracking. But basically, I think they're less concerned about the real effects of fracking than they are about whether they can quickly move to give these energy companies the rights to you know, drill for natural gas.
I wonder, it's interesting, for those of you who follow science fiction and are interested in Battlestar Galactica, they have a particular use for the term fracking. It means exactly what you think it does. And they use it in place of the normal word as part of their regular discourse.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, fracking. Yeah, it sounds nasty.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
Right. There are a number of companies that are buying up oil and gas leases around the state. There's one called Whitmar Exploration Company that's filed 59 oil and gas leases. Well, actually, this is from last year. This, I don't know how many have been filed since then, covering nearly 6,000 acres in Lee County. And the company, which is based in Denver, Colorado, has, I don't know what they've had to say about it, but they're also trying to buy leases in Chatham and Durham counties. The shales in North Carolina, these shale basins affect 14 North Carolina counties: Stokes, Rockingham, Granville, Orange, Durham, Chatham, Wake, Lee, Moore, Richmond, Montgomery, Anson, Yadkin, and Davie. So if you live in one of those counties, one of these days you could wake up to the sound of explosions and drilling nearby, because they're trying to buy property from farmers that are situated on the shales, over the shales. If you go to southernenvironment.org, that's the website, just southernenvironment, all is one word, .org, you can find some maps, a lot of information, and you can also find maps that show where these shale basins are, and it's eye-opening to look at their placement. I mean, this is something, you know, ancient geologic deposits. But if you're a farmer or you own land in Lee, Chatham, Moore, or any of these counties, you could be approached by a company that wants to lease your mineral rights and tap the potential natural gas deposits beneath your land. They could promise you the moon, say you will be, you know, handsomely reimbursed, and you could get rich. But you could get rich and also witness your family getting very, very ill. And then you'll be spending all your money on doctor bills and lawsuits against these companies. So if you are approached, or you know anyone who's approached about signing over the lease to their land or just granting these leases to companies to drill, get legal advice first before you sign any contract. Because mineral rights leases are binding legal contracts, and they can have unexpected impacts on you and your family. The Rural Advancement Foundation International, which is based down in Pittsburgh, has been working with NC State University and other legal experts to analyze the contracts that are being offered around the state. And they have some very serious concerns about potential liability and other impacts on farmers and landowners. So get information. Also, for more information about it, go to RAFIUSA. That's RAFIUSA.org. And you can find, just search for gas lease, and you can find it. Dick, you've been reading up on this, too, and you have some things that you pulled up recently, a study being done by Duke.
Yes, there are two articles that I picked up from the Christian Science Monitor, written by Mark Clayton, who's a staff writer, one was from September of last year, and the other one is from May of this year. And the one that is more current is about a Duke University study that finds high methane levels in groundwater near where fracking or hydraulic fracturing has occurred. Methane levels were 17 times higher in groundwater near areas where shale gas fracking wells had been drilled in Pennsylvania, compared with areas where no gas drilling had occurred. The overall view, they measured 68 private groundwater wells across five counties, five counties in Pennsylvania and New York. And it's a peer-reviewed study which is published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, which is a pretty high-level academic science magazine. And it, the fact that it's peer-reviewed means that it's probably a pretty reliable study. There are some complaints from industry, of course, saying that there were no controls, and at least some of the homeowners who claim that their wells are contaminated appear to be right, but not others. Environmentalists hailed the study, but the big problem, according to the industrial folks, the people who want to take advantage of the fracking, was the lack of baseline data to corroborate that the higher methane levels were caused by drilling and were not naturally occurring. To me, it seems like if the preponderance of occurrences are that the methane is higher where there's drilling and in comparison with where there's not been drilling, then that pretty much establishes a baseline. It's not a pre-existing zero in the sense that one would do for a chemical analysis, but it does, it seems to me like it's a fairly solid study.
Thanks. Yeah, I think you, I mean, I think you're right. You certainly know more about that, your background, than I do, but I would think so. I would also think, I often have to ask, in cases like this, would you rather take the risk of something that it might be maybe safe, or would you rather that they prove first that it is safe before they, you know, poison your well?
Or your family.
Your family. There are potential gas formations in the Triassic basins. I understand the problems now. We need energy and we need alternative, fuel sources. But the potential gas formations in the Triassic basins in North Carolina are underneath or upstream from public drinking water supplies for 2.4 million people in this state. And that includes densely populated areas in the triangle through the sand hills to the South Carolina state line. Other communities downstream withdraw their drinking water from the Lumber, Cape Fear, Neuse, and Tar rivers. A smaller area of shale occurs along the Dan River in Stokes, Rockingham, Yadkin, and Davie counties. And in other states where fracking has occurred, residents have reported spills and fumes, serious health problems, contaminated tap water. I've even seen videos of someone setting their tap water on fire. Imagine turning on your tap, lighting, striking a match or a lighter near it, and it goes up in flames. That's actually very serious, and it has happened a number of times. Contaminated tap water, sick and dying animals, earthquakes. Now, just recently, there was just an article recently, and I wish I had printed it out or gotten noted it more carefully, where small earthquakes are occurring in, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of earthquakes are occurring where they're fracking.
That was the one you got from Beth Cricker.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, it was
all right.
That
yeah.
Email.
Maybe it's in here somewhere. But in any case, that would concern me. The chemicals that they inject into the ground, and by the way, as much as 80% of these chemicals can be left behind when they're done, and they don't dissipate quickly, but it can include very dangerous and toxic chemicals. And a recent report listed 750 chemicals and compounds that are used in fracking by 14 different oil and gas service companies. Now, that was from 2005 to 2009. Out of those chemicals, 29 of them, including benzene and lead. I don't know about you, but I don't want those anywhere near my drinking water.
Exactly.
Are either known or potentially cancer-causing or pose other serious risks to health. Unfortunately, Congress has exempted fracking from federal regulations under the Safe Drinking Water Act after heavy lobbying by guess who? Oil and gas companies. This means that companies are not required to disclose their chemical mixtures under federal law. Now, there is an eminent researcher, Dr. Theo, what's her name? Theo Coldblum? Oh, shoot. I can't remember her name offhand, and I was just listening to her recently. But she tried to get the particular cocktail mix that various companies are using, and some claim that these are proprietary mixtures and they won't reveal them, and they're not being forced to reveal them. But these things, these chemicals, are serious. You don't want them near your drinking water. They can stray from the target drilling zone, too. You know, this study that Dick was just talking about, the scientists found on average methane concentrations 17 times higher than normal in samples that were taken from water wells near gas drilling sites that involve fracking. And that's very dangerous. With very much of North Carolina in drought, communities, all of our communities are working to conserve their public water supplies so that there will be enough for drinking and food production. But fracking, the amounts that fracking requires, 5 million gallons of water for a single well, where's that water going to come from? And are they going to get to take our drinking water and we have nothing left?
The answer is, at to where it comes from, is that it's trucked in.
It's trucked in from where?
From
where are they getting it?
I don't know. They get it from some source and mix it all up and truck it in, and it's like 1,000 truckloads to do one well, and that's only the first time they do it.
Okay. And what happens to all that chemical mix afterwards?
The stuff that's pumped down the well, as much as half of it comes back up.
And?
And is disposed of wherever. I don't know what the regulations are for disposal. It could be that they just handle it like they do hog waste and put it in a lagoon or something.
It's a little scary. The Duke study, do you have it there? The Duke study apparently identified 7 issues that need to be addressed before fracking is allowed in North Carolina.
I don't have the study itself.
But does the article say anything about that? Other states that have shown fracking, had fracking, have had really very serious health concerns. And there is some, I think there's some real documentation, some proof that, or near proof. Now, you can't say, with 100% certainty, apparently, that every single chemical that appears in your water has come from, you know, fracking somewhere. But we ought to be able to track it a little more closely than they're doing right now. The point of all this is, if you live in North Carolina, if you're in the gas belt of this state, you could wake up one morning to find a private utility company drilling for natural gas in your virtual backyard. And if your experience is like anything like what families in places like Pennsylvania, where they've been gas drilling, have experienced, you could find unhealthy levels of ethylene glycol, propylene glycol, toluene, strontium, barium, and manganese in your drinking water.
Yum.
You could also find your friends and family members complaining of stomach aches, seizures, broken bones that won't heal. In fact, if our experiences are anything like the health and environmental problems that have plagued other states where fracking for natural gas is taking place, we can count on having contaminated water supplies and a flood of related health concerns. Now, if this is okay with you, then you can tune out right now. But if, like me and most of the rest of us, you want safe drinking water for yourself, your children, your grandchildren, and you want no new health problems, then here's what you can do about it. Inform yourself and your neighbors about the dangers of fracking. Look into it. There are any number of sites. You can just Google the word fracking, and you'll pull up a wealth of sites and information.
Yes, that's F-R-A-C-K-I-N-G, by the way.
Exactly. Thank you. contact your legislators and tell them to just say no to private utility companies who are addicted to the high profits that fracking provides for them. Find out how you can help pass an anti-fracking resolution or ordinance in your community. Learn and speak out about the threat that is posed by a pernicious corporatocracy that places profits above people, what a threat this is to democracy and to our lives. You can support a citizen's challenge to corporate personhood, which we have spoken about before on this show and we'll speak about again. And you can get further involved through sites like Clean Water NC. Where is my website there? The Southern Environmental Law Center, southernenvironment.org, RAFI, RAFIUSA.org, and where is the other one? I know I had that other one here. I'll find that, the Clean Water. But inform yourself. Just find out about it, because to me this is just too serious for us to overlook. There, just this.
I read that there's another test being done by EPA in which they took some leftover water from a fracking operation and just spread it in a pond as per the prescription of whatever location was. And there was no result to the study, but I just read that that's one of the things that EPA is looking into. They're also looking into, they have another study going on about the gas and whether or not toxic gas can be released or not. And that's results due out in 2012. So you need to keep an eye on that as well. And we'll try and keep you up to date. One more thing to keep track of.
Yeah. Oh, the other website is CWFNC, that is Clean Water for North Carolina .org. CWFNC.org. And go look at them. They have some great presentations and information about fracking and some diagrams that'll show you. Here's something on the North Carolina current regulations and leases. Horizontal drilling is prohibited. Groundwater best usage in NC, drinking water, so don't inject potential contaminants. I sure hope that. Bev Perdue, it's taken some courage for her to stand up, and she's been standing up. I've been very proud of her. But do you happen to know the latest? I should have researched this, and I didn't. I'm sorry, folks. I don't know exactly what's happening in Raleigh lately. I confess that I have been so frustrated and furious with our legislators, both here in North Carolina and in D.C., that I have taken to ignoring them, and except for occasionally writing to them or phoning them to tell them how I want them to vote on something. So I'm not following it as closely as I should, but we need to stay in touch to find out. There's a movie out too called Gasland that is really very good. You can Google that if you want to learn more about it. But it's been making the rounds in all over the country. You can do something like host a dinner at your house, a potluck, and show the film, or find out where it is showing. And wait a moment. Is this a first-run film? Do you know Gasland?
I don't know.
I saw it, but it occurs to me that those may have been special circumstances. But anyway, and if again, report any contacts from companies that are seeking to lease land for fracking. Don't sign anything. You can contact Rafi again, Jordan Treacle, T-R-E-A-K-L-E, of the Rural Advancement Foundation International. And you can email him at jordan@rafiusa.org. That's Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, @rafiusa.org. Or you can call them at 919-444-1321. Let's see.
It looks to me like it's time that we should maybe have a break.
Okey-doke.
This is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. That's WILPF. Wednesday afternoon radio show on WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. We are happy to be underwritten by Internationalist Bookstore at 405 West Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. The bookstore where you find the things that you won't find anywhere else, because that's why they're there. We encourage you to go down and get acquainted with the folks at the Internationalist, or you can go to their website, internationalistbooks.org, and see what they have to offer, if there's any events coming up and so on and so forth. We are the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. Our website is triangle WILPF.org, and we meet on the second Saturday of every month normally, and it's normally at the Friends Meeting House on Raleigh Road in Chapel Hill. If you go to our website, you can find archives of old shows and information about what other things are going on with WILF in the Triangle. And then there, of course, is WILF, WILPF.org, which is the website of the national organization. Let's see, did I give our website, triangle WILPF.org? Okay, good. Just wanted to be sure.
I want to take a few minutes to read something that appeared in the News and Observer last Saturday, July 23rd this year. It's written by John Woolard, and John Woolard is a rancher and who owns land. His family's owned land for decades in Lee and Chatham counties. And John published this in the News and Observer, and I hope I'm not going to get arrested for reading this, but I think his article is very interesting. This is basically a story. Late one morning in April 2010, a Chevy Tracker with Colorado plates pulled up in our yard near Carbonton in southwestern Chatham County, and a man representing a natural gas exploration company got out. He had a contract he wanted me to sign, leasing his company the natural gas rights to my back 30. His son, he said, had done the research and believed that there was a vast bowl-like geologic structure under a portion of the county that likely contained an impressive supply of gas. The plan was to bore holes in the ground and pump in water laced with corrosive chemicals to force out the gas. As he talked, I looked through the 22 pages of documents. I did at least retain the rights to sulfur and any minerals that might be discovered on the place. "So what do you think?" he asked. "Well, I knew you were coming," I said. He squinted at me and leaned back against his truck. "How? How'd you know?" I tapped my temple. I'd been expecting someone like him to appear ever since I had gotten a robocall from T. Boone Pickens some months before. I got one of those, did you? I remember that. T. Boone has been promoting a plan to wean America off foreign oil by using U.S. reserves of natural gas to operate commercial transport. Spending $50 million of his own money to promote natural gas was bound to excite the imaginations of wildcatters looking for cheap land and poor people in places where coal and shale, which are clues to the presence of gas, were abundant. And coal is abundant here. It's estimated that only 1% of the 60 to 100 million tons of coal believed to lie along the Deep River has been extracted. For 2.5 centuries, speculators and investors have tried with varying degrees of success to get at it, digging in the Egypt, Carolina, and McIver mines around Cumnock, the Taylor Slope, the Gulf and Deep River mines of Gulf, the Black Diamond and Gardner mines of Carbonton, the Jones Coal Pit and Haw Branch mines near the House of the Horseshoe. Near the close of the Civil War, the Confederacy's chief source of coal was from the deep water. I looked up when I saw you look up and lost my place. Source of coal was from the Deep River coal fields. During Reconstruction, the coal and adjacent iron ore reserves inspired a carpetbagger bond scheme which ensnared Governor William Holden, not the actor, by the way, to build a state penitentiary in Chatham County. Prison labor would mine the coal. Well, isn't that sweet? Two American governments had just killed more than 600,000 men, breaking the country's addiction to slavery. But the desire for cheap labor and fuel was still very much alive. The coal mining business in central North Carolina died in the 1950s after a cascade of floodings, fires, and fatal explosions. Prospectors still hunt other deposits. In July 1983, a company came around looking for oil and actually found some, but it wasn't economically feasible at the time to retrieve it. An ugly history. Since the ground here doesn't seem to want to give up its treasures so easily, I've been interested to see the other businesses and government agents that have focused on this area during the past 33 years. In July and August of 1978, Robert J. Burns of Transformer Sales Incorporated in Allegheny, New York, came down with his sons Randy and Tim and dumped 31,000 gallons of PCBs along the highway through here and another 270 miles of road in 14 counties in North Carolina. The stuff sat there for 4 years until the Hunt administration won out in court. The contaminated soil was dug up and all 10,000 truckloads of it hauled to a pit in Warren County. In January 1981, a state senator who was later elected lieutenant governor was set to sell 750 acres of pasture land along the Deep River to Chemical Waste Management of Long Beach, California. They wanted the land for a hazardous waste dump. The deal was stopped at the last minute when my dad, that's John Woolard's dad, pointed out to the key players that the river flooded badly from time to time. Floodwaters sluicing through a toxic waste dump could have poisoned the water systems of every town along the Deep and Cape Fear rivers from Gulf to Wilmington. In May 1988, the NC Hazardous Waste Commission chose another tract near here to build a waste incinerator. 90 million pounds per year of toxic garbage would have gone up in smoke there. Local outrage shut that project down. A few years later, a candidate for the state Senate said to me, "I don't know why those people fought that. That was a marvelous location for that facility." He didn't win. Then in November 1986, a pork producer bought the land at the center of the 1981 dump scheme. His plan was to put as many as 20,000 hogs on the banks of the Deep River. The farm would have generated waste equivalent to a city of 60,000 with an open cesspool for a sewer. The fallout from that proposed project led to a moratorium on huge new hog farms in the state. And in 1993, Eastern Chatham County was chosen by the Southeast Radioactive Waste Management Compact for a nuclear waste dump, accepting radioactive material from 8 states. That site was ultimately rejected by the state due to the permeable nature of the soil and rock formations in central North Carolina. Thanks, but no thanks. It's interesting to me that no one ever wants to build a donut factory around here. No one ever wants to set up an amusement park, but a toxic waste dump, a smoldering trash heap, a radioactive pile in an open sewer, that's another story. I did not take the Colorado Man's offer or the offer from another company that came out in the mail in May. In June, a contract showed up from an outfit in Charlotte. Attached was a check for $92.01. For this amount, I was to sell them the right to build canals, dispose of wastewater, and build a shanty town for the roustabouts on the 30-acre tract. They wanted the sulfur, too. I haven't cashed that check. Thanks again. That was John Woolard's story that ran in the News and Observer on July 23rd. I read that.
That's about all the time we have for the show today. It's almost 6 o'clock, and We're going to sign off now. This is the Wilf wake-up call, connect the dots. So we tried to connect the dots today, and we want you to wake up and take action. We'll talk to you again next week. This is your host and engineer, Dick Paddock. Lori Hoyt, the co-host, had to leave early, but we'll talk to you again soon.